J. Clinton McCann notes that typically, when God speaks directly in the book of Psalms, God does so in one of two ways. First, God speaks to give voice to his divine displeasure with us. And second, God speaks to call people to account. While that twofold pattern persists throughout almost the entire book, there are a few rare exceptions. And today's psalm is one of those. For today's psalm contains nothing about God's displeasure with us, or even about God's call to reckoning for us. So what does it contain? Two very different things: God's hope and God's promise. So hear now those words of hope and promise as contained in Psalm chapter 91, verses 9 through 16. Because you've made the Lord my refuge, the Most High, your place of residence, no evil will happen to you. No disease will come close to your tent. Because he will order his messengers to help you, to protect you wherever you go. They will carry you with their own hands so you don't bruise your foot on the stone. You'll march on top of lions and vipers. You'll trample young lions and serpents underfoot. God says, because you are devoted to me, I'll rescue you. I'll protect you because you know my name. Whenever you cry out to me, I'll answer. I will be with you in troubling times. I'll save you and glorify you. I'll fill you with old age, and I'll show you my salvation. Thus ends today's reading. Each week I have at least four different choices about which scripture I can use as our focus. And this week was no different than any other. I could have, for instance, used a passage from the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, a chapter that poetically spells out the Christ-like qualities of a true servant of God. I could have also used a passage from the 5th chapter of Hebrews, a chapter that speaks to the beauty of the reconciling work Jesus did. Or I could have even used the gospel reading for the day from the book of Mark, a passage that speaks to the kind of life to which we followers of Jesus are called. But I didn't pick any of those options. No, instead, I chose to put all of our attention this morning into the psalm. Why, you ask? Well, I did so because of a comment one of the participants in our Monday night Bible study made. So let me tell you a little bit of background about the remark. In setting up the psalm, those of us in the weekly Bible study noted that many of us were raised with a particular belief in mind, namely that bad things happen to bad people and good things happen to good people. And because of what we'd been taught, many of us good, faithful people found ourselves struggling when the bad times came along. We remembered that we spent hours and hours during the tough times torturing ourselves, crying out to God, "What could I have possibly done to deserve this?" And have any of you ever been there before? Well, the beauty of this morning's psalm, we decided, is that it makes it's pretty clear that that theological approach is mistaken. For bad things don't just happen to bad people. Bad things happen to us all. You might have noted, for instance, that in verse 11, God promised that God would send protectors the way of the good and the just. The hidden implication there is that the good and the just need protection for all of the troubling things they too will face. And verse 13 didn't tell us that we would have the luxury of going through life without ever running into our share of lions, vipers, and serpents. No, it didn't tell us that at all. Instead, the psalm assured us that when we faced them, we would march on top of those lions and vipers, and that we would trample those pesky serpents underfoot. At the end of the evening, we decided that the power of the psalm's message lies in the very first two sentences of verse 15. A verse that reads, "Whenever you cry out to me, I'll answer. I will be with you in troubling times." Just think how much easier our lives could have been, the participant noted, if we could have earlier let go of those first ways of thinking that blamed us and ourselves for the bad that happened, and instead, if we could have looked for God's abiding presence during those hard times to pull us through. If we could have done that, maybe our lives could have been different. The participant was right. And that's why I chose to focus all our attention this morning on that simple promise contained in the psalm, a promise that can bring hope to our lives even during the toughest of times. So what does that message of God's abiding presence look like in the context of our lives? Well, a colleague of mine by the name of John Yates shared a wonderful story that can help us figure that out and apply the wisdom of the psalm to our own circumstance. The story that he made is, the story that he shared is made up, but don't dismiss it, for the truth his story contains is so very real. So let me tell that story. Once upon a time, a terrible storm broke out suddenly in the seas, and a ship was tossed against the rocks and wrecked, Mr. Yates began. There was only one man who survived that horrible accident, and he was carried by the seas until he washed up one day on the shores of a small, uninhabited island. The man was exhausted, and as he drug himself up the shore toward land, the man did what any of us would have done. He cried out for God to save him. Every day, he spent hours scanning the horizon, searching for help. And every day, the horizon was empty. So much for being saved, right? Well, in the midst of living with those frustrations, day after day, week after week, the man managed to build a rough little hut and put whatever valuables he had pulled together inside that little hut. Finally, things were looking upright. Well, one day, as the man was walking home after spending most of the morning searching for food, the man saw a plume of smoke. And as he looked closer, he saw that a fire had broken out and that his little hut was now totally engulfed in flames. That was the last straw. The man threw himself on the ground, kicking and screaming in fits of anger and rage and despair. He kicked and he screamed until the last of his energy gave out and he fell into a fitful sleep. Next morning, the man awoke, just in time to see a ship pulling up next to the island. And as the rescuers got into their little boat and landed and walked toward him, the man found himself blurting out, "It's a miracle! It's a miracle! How did you know I was here?" "We saw your smoke signal," they replied. Mr. Yates' little story is a wonderful one that reminds us of an important bedrock point about our faith. For you see, while we often confuse the circumstances of our lives with the quality of our relationship with God, it's a mistake to do so. For just as good things happen to bad people, so too do bad things happen to the good. The beauty of what this morning's psalm has to offer us is that no matter how bad our circumstances may be, no matter how hopeless we feel, the power of our faith is our core belief drawn from verse 15 of this morning's reading. Whenever you cry out to me, I'll answer. I'll be with you in troubling times. Here to put that simple message into words and music and bring it home this morning is Lucia, as she will put those powerful words of hope and promise to life in a familiar song titled On Eagle's Wings.